Time now for the original Big Band Serenade with your host, Dennis Humphrey.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome once again to another Big Band Serenade. This is Dennis Humphrey, your host and your guide as we travel back in time, back to the best of the big band era. This week's episode of One Night Stand is from February the 9th, 1971, and it features Ray Conniff. Ray recalls his early days in Boston playing trombone with the society bands, including Dan Murphy's musical Skippers, performing in New York with Bunny Berrigan, Artie Shaw, and Bob Crosby, and his eventual glory years at Columbia Records.
I suppose when most people hear the name Ray Conniff, they picture somebody who was born around 1945 or so and put together an orchestra and chorus and made Swonderful and $1 million and then came up with Smarvelous and a few other things. It didn't quite happen that way. Ray, you're another one of those overnight successes who had to really work at it in the big band era for a good few years before you made it to the top.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the case with almost all artists. Just as you say, people don't realize there's a lot of groundwork goes in and before they really become successful.
Swonderful, the best-selling record that vaulted the fabulous orchestral choral sound of Ray Conniff and his group into making them one of the biggest stars of the record industry. Good evening, this is Arnold Dean. And from now until 10 o'clock this evening, welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. Tonight, saluting the career, the music of Ray Conniff. And brought to you by the Hitchcock Retail Showroom in Riverton, Connecticut, with authentic early American reproductions to beautify your home, and by Lake Compounds, America's pioneer playground, Bristol, offering fun for the whole family since 1846. Ray Conniff visited the WTIC studios just about a month ago, and he was certainly given the VIP treatment here, befitting a star of his caliber. He was ushered from studio to studio, from radio to television, for interviews with Gene Colbert, Lou Palmer, Al Terzi. And when we sat down and chatted for about 20 minutes or so, I found Ray Conniff to be an altogether modest, totally unassuming man, very honest in an effort to answer every question posed by this wide variety of interviewers. So here we are, courtesy of the Hitchcock Retail Showroom and Lake Compounds, with a one-night stand with the career and the music of Ray Conniff. Thank you. Ray Conniff trombone and the Billy Butterfield trumpet from an album called Just Kiddin' Around, which they were, and the selection was entitled When I Grow Too Old to Dream. The history of furniture design has been traced as far back as the ancient Egyptians. Throughout the centuries, basic forms evolved and were passed from generation to generation for enrichment and refinement. One such form was the chair. During the early Victorian period, chairmaking in the United States shifted from small shops to factories, one of the earliest of which belonged to Lambert Hitchcock. His once primitive factory is now the seat of one of America's largest and finest furniture houses. The original equipment, driven by water power from the nearby river, has been replaced by modern machinery, and production is greater than ever. But quantity has not replaced quality. The same skilled craftsmanship which gave the company its start has given it its fame. This history of durability and superior workmanship stands behind the Hitchcock trademark, your assurance of quality merchandise. You'll find it on every authentic reproduction at the Hitchcock Retail Showroom in Riverton, Connecticut. Open Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday from 9:30 to 5, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9:30 to 9. Born in Attleboro, Massachusetts, why did Ray Conniff decide to start playing trombone?
Well, my dad played trombone, and he gave me a few lessons when I was only about 9 years old. And I didn't take it too seriously, but a few years later when I was in high school, some of my buddies played, one of them played sax, oh, two of them played saxophone, and there was a piano player, and they decided to get a little orchestra together to play some of the high school things, and they asked me if I would join them. And I really didn't feel I could play well enough to, you know, to join them, but they talked me into going to the first rehearsal. Turned out I played better than any of them, so you can imagine what they played like with me with about four lessons. So that's how it all started, and it I started arranging very shortly after that through an ad I saw in a Billboard magazine. It was a little musical slide rule called a lightning arranger. And I sent away for that. I think it cost me only a dollar. It was the best investment I ever made. And I started writing music and playing trombone right then when I was back in high school, and continued for many, many years, you know, until I had my own orchestra when this wonderful, marvelous, awful, nice era when those came out.
You emigrated away from Attleboro to, I think, Boston was your first big city, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Did you play with a name band there?
Well, I played around with the society bands there. Jack Marshad was a type of, was a booking office that had bands. They'd have three or four, even on a very important night, like a New Year's Eve, you'd have 20 bands playing. And I did some work around town in Boston like that for about 3 or 4 months. But most of the fellas that were there that were married, I was single at the time, they said, Ray, get out of Boston. It's not a good town for a musician to stay in. Go to New York, and that's where all of the things really happen. And they felt that I had enough talent that if I went there, I could become successful. So I took their advice and got my union transfer card and transferred into Local 802 in New York City. And I played around Boston for a while, though, with a little band that used to go in and out of Boston called Dan Murphy's Musical Skippers. Somebody mentioned that just before when we came down the hall. I'm surprised anyone remembered it. But the first band that anyone would recognize would be, like Bonnie Berrigan's band, and later I played with Artie Shaw's band and Bob Crosby, and then I started writing for Harry James, doing arrangements for him.
You did a beautiful thing with them, September Song.
Yeah, that turned out good. Thank you.
Arranged by Ray Conniff, recorded by Harry James and his trumpet and orchestra, November 6th of 1947. That's the beautiful September song. You know, just about everyone enjoys reminiscing about days gone by, days enjoyed with family and friends, probably at a favorite gathering ground or picnic area. And for many Connecticut folks, some of those pleasurable days were spent at Lake Compounds in Bristol. You see, Lake Compounds has been offering fun for people of all ages for a very long time, since 1846. And today, America's Pioneer Playground offers more fun than ever. There are rides, including a Ferris wheel and roller coaster, a beach and a bathhouse, an 18-hole miniature golf course, free midway entertainment, picnic areas, dancing and singing, and ever so much more. It's an ideal place to take the whole family for a day of fun. So why not make this Labor Day weekend one of those times you'll reminisce about in days to come? Take Mom, Dad, Grandma, and Grandpa, and all the children to Lake Compounds in Bristol, now in its 126th fun-filled season. Back to our conversation now with Ray Conniff. And Ray, you arranged for so many bands, Alvino Ray, Artie Shaw, and the pretender to the Artie Shaw style, Jerry Wall, Bunny Berrigan, Bob Crosby, the aforementioned. Which was the most rewarding of these groups for which to arrange?
I think probably Artie's band was, of course, the first break with Bunny Berrigan was very exciting for me. It was my first association with so-called name bands, you know, and that was a very exciting thing. And then in Artie Shaw's band, I sat beside the great Jack Jenny, who's a wonderful trombonist, and I learned an awful lot from him. And I actually worked with three of his bands. He had such great musicians that it was a really a pleasure to arrange for that band or those different groups that he had.
How would you approach it in making an arrangement for him as opposed to one for, say, Vaughn Monroe? For example, the voicing of the saxophones in Artie Shaw's band was unique. This was something I think he originally came up with. Did you try to carry on the same way that he was arranging for them?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and it's a very funny thing, but you could write the same arrangement for different bands, and it would sound different. And the reason for that is the personality of the man in front of the band is injected into the musicians that are playing the arrangements and the interpretation of it. As a matter of fact, one of the most frustrating things for an arranger is to be working for a band like Artie Shaw or Harry James or Bob Crosby, where you bring the arrangements in and the band leader rehearses the arrangement and he beats the tempo off every night. And I would say 80% of the time the tempo was different than you felt it should have been.
Uh-huh.
And the interpretation of the arrangement isn't the way you would have liked to have done it. So when I did the first things on my own, it was really like a light being turned on, because all the arrangements began to sound the way I heard them when I wrote them on the paper, you know. So actually I wrote the same for all of those band leaders, but it never sounded the same.
Ray, I'd like to play something that you recorded with and arranged for the Artie Shaw Band. It was recorded January 9th of 1945 when the band featured Mr. Shaw, of course, on clarinet. You were in the trombone section. Roy Eldridge was one of the trumpeters. Chuck Gentry was in the sax section. Dodie Marmarosa on piano, Barney Kessel's guitar, among others. And I know that this is going to sound quite familiar. It's Swonderful, but recorded by the Artie Shaw Band, January 9th, 1945. Thank you. Musically, the Shaw Band, I think even now, as we listen to the band here 33 years later at this point, was certainly a fantastic group for musicianship.
Well, Artie was, he was a precision type man, and he believed in getting things clean and perfect, you know. And the overall conception of all the Artie Shaw bands was very good, and the quality was very high, I think, musician wise, and he always tried to get real good players too, and it was really a pleasure to work with Artie.
Lambert Hitchcock's quality standard was very high too, so let's reminisce about that for a moment. In the early 1800s, a young America was growing, and an enterprising young artisan named Lambert Hitchcock was growing with it. His contribution to an expanding America was the advancement of furniture output methods, from the limited productivity of individual craftsmen to primitive mass production. In 1826, Hitchcock chose a small northern Connecticut settlement as the site for a factory famed for chairs stenciled with his name. Today, the quaint, historic factory still stands, nestled on the picturesque banks of the Farmington River. Surviving, too, is Lambert Hitchcock's legacy of quality design and manufacturing. Masterful craftsmen at work in the restored Hitchcock retail showroom adapt the old Hitchcock flavors to authentic modern reproductions. The Hitchcock retail showroom displays 125 styles of furniture, including chairs, tables, benches, mirrors, headboards, and chests. Choose from 13 different finishes and a variety of lovely colors. Visit the showroom and discover the timeless beauty of Hitchcock. Designs of yesteryear for today's homemakers. That's the Hitchcock retail showroom, Riverton, Connecticut. Open Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday from 9:30 to 5, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9:30 to 9. We're listening to the way Ray Conniff performed with and arranged for some of the big bands. He also provided backgrounds for such great vocal stars as Rosemary Clooney, the fabulously successful Johnny Ray, Guy Mitchell, and many, many others. And from there, it was a very short step to Swonderful. And from that, it was a short step to all the other big hits we associate with Ray Conniff, the orchestra and chorus. For example, this one of their earlier recordings, The Way You Look Tonight.
Thank you.
some beautiful Jerome Kern music with Ray Conniff, the orchestra and chorus. That's The Way You Look Tonight. You're listening to A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. Tonight, an interview with and the music of Ray Conniff, being brought to you on 1080 Radio, WTIC, broadcast house in Hartford, Connecticut, by the Hitchcock Retail Showroom in Riverton, Connecticut, with authentic early American reproductions to beautify your home, and by Lake Compounds, America's pioneer playground, Bristol, offering fun for the whole family since 1846. Let's resume the story now of the career of Ray Conniff. And I think, Ray, the next significant moments, musically at least, came near the end of World War II.
In about the last 8 months of World War II, I was drafted into the Army, and I went to Camp Lee, Virginia, where I was given an assignment to teach the wax how to play trombone. That was very frustrating. They don't make very good trombone players. Girls are just not made for playing the trombone.
Back in the 50s, Tommy Dorsey made a recording of The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Are you familiar with that, where he used the voices along with the instrument?
No, I never realized that.
It was a fairly good seller, and it's one that we listen to every now and then, and we've always wondered why he didn't follow through with this and pursue it further. I guess Bobby Dukoff was another one, the tenor saxophonist, who tried to use voices with his instruments.
Yeah, and Neil Hefti used them at one time. Of course, they've been used since, you know, Tchaikovsky used voices as instruments, too, in the early classics. So it's really not a new thing, but I think the way I did it when I came out with those early arrangements, it was a little different than anyone had used voices, in that I always doubled them with some of the instruments. You know, like I'd put the men with the trombones and I'd put the girls with the trumpets and they'd sing in unison. And I don't think anyone had exploited that way of doing it before.
That has to be true, because it was a completely new and different sound when you did it.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the idea for it?
Well, when I first started doing background arrangements at Columbia Records in New York City, Mitch Miller was in charge of all of the artists and the repertoire that they would record. And one of the very first assignments I had was to do a date with Don Cherry. And, of course, all arrangers like to experiment, and it was just another experiment. You know, you're always trying new things. You don't like to just get in a rut where you do the same thing over and over. So I just tried an idea. I used six men singers, and I used the usual orchestra that I was used to writing for. Like, I think we had six brass and five reeds and a rhythm section. Mm-hmm. And I doubled the men singers right in with the instruments, as I was just telling you, on an introduction that I did for an arrangement for Don Cherry. It was called Band of Gold. And that was the first time I used it. And the sound of the mixture of the voices and the instruments singing the same parts was a very unusual sound. I remember Mitch came running out of the booth, and he was all excited about it when he heard the rehearsal. He said, "Ray, that's a fantastic sound, and we've got to do it, do more of this, but I'd like you to do an album on your own." Or at least we started with a single. He had me do a single on my own, which was the, we did Begin to Begin Stardust. That was the first thing I ever did with that sound. And although it wasn't a big seller as a single, all the disc jockeys throughout the United States thought it was a great sound, and they just kept playing that Begin to Begin over and over. So then we recorded 10 other songs and put out the album Swonderful, which became very successful.
And the rest of it is all musical history, of course. It's going to be an extra special, fun-filled Labor Day weekend at Lake Compounds in Bristol. Yes, the friendly folks at Lake Compounds have planned a full schedule of events to fill those weekend hours. Tomorrow evening, it's the final square dance of the season, with Don Hanhurst calling the steps. Saturday afternoon, it's the Colonel Clown Junior Talent Contest, featuring the first place winners of the 1971 season. And Saturday night, Your Father's Mustache, a well-known banjo band, entertains with a gay 90s format of fun and music. Sunday, there's polka dancing in the ballroom, featuring two well-known orchestras. And on Sunday and Monday, Mel Price and his Santa Fe Rangers join Slim Cox and the Cowboy Caravan for a spectacular entertainment extravaganza. The free shows start at 2:30 p.m. both days and continue throughout the afternoon and evening. So, this Labor Day weekend, join the fun at America's pioneer playground, Lake Compounds, in Bristol. Ray Conniff, since you are a great musician and arranger yourself, I'm sure that you admire great musicianship in others. And I must recall one of the premier names that comes to my mind, the late Conrad Gazzo of New Britain, one of the best lead trumpet men, I think, ever.
Oh, yeah, he was a great player. Yes, we've lost Gaz. He was really fantastic. I think you can almost count on the fingers of one hand the first trumpet players that really work in well for me. There's Gaz and Billy Butterfield. Now I'm using Johnny Best. And there are really very few great lead trumpet players like that. He was one of the greatest.
He certainly was. Conrad Gazzo's trumpet, Ray Conniff's orchestra and chorus, and Frenesy. What is Ray Conniff doing now? We have a new album, a relatively new one, that came from one of your appearances at Concert in Stereo at the Sahara Tahoe. And may I say, incidentally, quite a bit of your rapport with the audience is on the album, and it sounds as though you are a great entertainer. I think you got a standing ovation with this one.
Well, I don't know if I'm a great entertainer or not, but I'm very nervous when I start. I don't do a lot of personal appearances. I do usually one a year, like this one here, Sahara Tahoe, or maybe Las Vegas, and I get very nervous before I go on for one of these personal appearances. It's so different, you know, because for so many years I was behind microphones, as you and I are now, talking to each other, and we don't see any of the people that we're talking to. We don't know what they look like, and we don't know what their reaction is. And when I did my first personal appearances, it was the first time I actually came in contact with the people that were buying the albums, because that's who came to the shows, people that were buying my music. And it seemed like when I first did it, I was scared. You know, I wondered how they were going to receive it and everything. But after I did a few, I realized that they were really for me, you know.
We're going to have a sing-along, and you're it. Don't laugh. Remember, we used to have sing-alongs with Mitch. Remember, Mitch? This is a sing-along with Ray. And, you know, it's real easy to sing along with the Ray Conniff Orchestra and Chorus. You don't have to know the words, just da-das. Okay, I'll give you a little demonstration, and then you can follow suit. It goes like this. Da 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 da. You could do that. Don't sound too convincing. All right, well, let's give it a try. We'll find out. Here we go. Well, stop the music. Take a deep breath now. You know, we're up 7,000 feet here. There's not too much oxygen. Really? It's true. Okay, here we go. Here's your big chance. Good. Now once more with a little change. Very good. Now in the middle, we have to wait for the bass notes. Hold it. Okay, once more, the ending loud and hold the last note.
Try to really set anything too pat, and if a trombone player drops a mute or something, I'll turn around and ask him, you know, how it happened. And I found the audience gets bigger charge out of something like that, the unexpected, than they do if you have a great show all planned piece by piece, you know. So that's the way we do the show. It's pretty relaxed.
We'll recall another of those great moments from Ray Conniff's Concert in Stereo live at the Sahara Tahoe in a moment. There's something in the American character that strives for individuality, from its government to its people, from fashion to auto design, to home modeling and decorating. America generates a spirit that cries for uniqueness. This spirit was as strong in the 1600s as it is today, in furniture, for instance. The early colonists borrowed furniture designs from England. But after 1675 spent a century and a half Americanizing them, their motive was a practical one, as well as an independent one. It was necessary to adapt the designs to suit the simpler tastes and manner of living current in America. But though their tastes were simple, early American furniture makers showed a natural flair for elegance. Lambert Hitchcock was one of the most famous. The smooth, defined lines of Hitchcock, complemented by a soft, delicate beauty, reflect an ease and graciousness of living. It is this quality which gives Hitchcock a timeless appeal. Bring some of that loveliness into your home. Visit the Hitchcock Retail Showroom in Riverton, Connecticut. Open Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday from 9:30 till 5, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9:30 till 9. One of the best moments of this concert in stereo, live at the Sahara Tahoe by Ray Conniff and the group, was a departure as they embarked on an authentic Dixieland segment that did literally stop the show. Famous musicians were included. Johnny Guarnieri played piano. He was the ex-Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman great. Panama Francis on drums, once the mainstay of the Cab Calloway rhythm section. Skeets Herford, clarinet, well known for his work with the original Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. And Johnny Best, the aforementioned on trumpet, who is remembered so well for his brilliant playing with the original Glenn Miller Orchestra. Pretty fast company. And Ray Conniff was a part of it, too, demonstrating the trombone work that always made him one of the mainstays of the Bunny Berrigan, Bob Crosby, Artie Shaw bands, and so on. Here they are, two-beat style, live. We'll be right back. some two-beat style with Johnny Guarnieri, Panama Francis, Skeets Herford, Johnny Best, and of course Ray Conniff, our subject tonight of a one-night stand with the big band. Looking for a place to take the family this Labor Day weekend? Take the whole family, Mom, Dad, Grandma, and Grandpa, and all the children to Lake Compounds in Bristol. You see, Lake Compounds is an all-around amusement park that has been offering fun for people of all ages since 1846. There are rides, an 18-hole miniature golf course, a beach and bathhouse, and picnic areas, plus a full schedule of weekend events with something sure to please every member of the family, including good music, plenty of dancing, and several free shows. Tomorrow night, it's the last square dance of the season. Saturday afternoon, Colonel Clown hosts the Junior Talent Contest. And Saturday night, your father's mustache entertains in the lounge. There's polka dancing to two well-known orchestras, Sunday from 4 to 10 p.m. And on Sunday and Monday, Mel Price and his Santa Fe Rangers team up with Slim Cox and the Cowboy Caravan for an entertainment extravaganza. So this Labor Day weekend, take the whole family to Lake Compounds in Bristol.
Ray Conniff, I think, has given us hundreds of hours of pleasure, and it's always a pleasure to see your new albums arrive because they get a great deal of use here and I think at most other radio stations around the country. And I hope you'll have no thoughts of retiring. Go on doing it for a long time.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited about this new album that we did because it incorporates this sound that we've been discussing about the voices used as instruments, and it's called Great Contemporary Instrumental Hits, and it just come out. But I did it on the songs of today. It almost sounds like the old Ray Conniff sound new again.
Tijuana Taxi with the new Ray Conniff sound, the Ray Conniff Orchestra and Chorus. Ray Conniff, we found to be one of the most talented and yet least affected veteran musicians of the big band era, still very active in 1971. I know the schedule is a very busy one, Ray, and we appreciate your taking the time to visit with us.
Thank you for talking with me. I enjoyed it.
¶¶ You've been listening to A One Night Stand with the Big Bands, tonight featuring conversation with and the music of Ray Conniff with the orchestra and chorus. The One Night Stand has been brought to you by Lake Compounds, America's pioneer playground, Bristol, offering fun for the whole family since 1846, and by the Hitchcock Retail Showroom in Riverton, Connecticut, with authentic early American reproductions to beautify your home. Our program was produced by Brian Hartnett, engineering by Bob Schirrego. This is Arnold Dean. Thank you for joining us on A One Night Stand with the Big Bands, featuring the music of Ray Conniff.